opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Before we begin, everyone do me a favor. Thanks. Read a little thing I wrote called The Federalist Papers. Yeah. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency? Yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter. Nope. I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Hey, Bitcoin Maxis. It's the Tokens Radio Show with our hosts, Christy Matthews, Linda Kent, and Cameron Walfort.
Well, good afternoon, and this is the Tokens Radio Show, where we talk about all things crypto, blockchain, and Web3. My name is Christy Matthews.
I'm Linda Kett.
And Cameron Walfort.
It's good to have you here. Yeah. You can find us on Telegram and Twitter at Tokens Radio Show, and the chat room is open right now at kcnr1460.com, so please join us. And give us a call at 530-605-4567. We'd like to know what's on your mind and join the conversation. Last weekend, The Voice was here. If you, what a great conversation. He talked about Divi, the Divi project, and among other things, a little bit about stable coins. So if you missed that that show, you can go to Tokens Radio Show, and it is listed there under the recent shows.
And it's a good show. I went and listened to the recording. It was good. He did a good job. You guys did a great job.
Well, we missed you. Glad you're back in the studio.
Absolutely one worth listening to, though. He's a fantastic guest. We'll have to have him back on.
And he said he'd love to come back on. So we'll have to take him up on that, right? So we're going to continue a little bit about stablecoins today, not so much like we did last week, but we have a little bit to report on that, and ways to protect yourself from crypto scammers, and why retailers may consider accepting cryptos in their business, and how that ties into DeFi. And before we get started, here's a word from one of our affiliate partners. Tokens Radio Show has partnered with Swan Bitcoin. We are Swan Bitcoin customers and chose them because Swan is, well, easy to work with and inexpensive. Set up a Bitcoin savings plan and never miss out on the dips. It's perfect for both new and experienced Bitcoiners. Get the free book, Inventing Bitcoin, the technology behind the first truly scarce and decentralized money, and earn $10 of Bitcoin when you use our affiliate link, swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow. That's swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow. Yeah, those are good people over at Swan. So this is a good time to get into Bitcoin if you haven't been looking at the market. We're in a little bit of a crypto winter, but it's time to get some Bitcoin. Yeah.
Everyone knows bulls run at red.
Yes, they do. Absolutely.
And Bitcoin Swan, I really love it. I mean, I say it almost every time, but I really do. It is very easy for us crypto dummies
operate. No.
You know what I mean? But it's very simple. Yeah. You can get it set up automatically, so it works great.
So, Linda, what's our crypto speak today?
It is fishing.
You mean like drop the line in the water kind of fishing?
No, this is a different type of fishing. This
okay.
is P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G.
Okay.
And there's a lot of this that's going on. So, this is the fraudulent practice of sending emails purporting to be from from respected companies in order to get individuals' emails and credit card numbers and personal information. So, you know, a lot of times you get a call or something from somebody or an email that says, important, flash, flash, flash. If you don't do this and give us this information, we're going to cut your, you know, you can't have access to your bank account, whatever it is. And this is again, like you were saying earlier, scammers, mm-hmm. trying to get your personal information to get into your stuff and take it from you.
And if I may tack on, how it works in crypto is devastatingly fast. So I lost $2,400 last year to this. And it's very, very simple. And that is you can change a single letter in a domain name or pose as a reputable member from an organization or a crypto project and reach out to someone that has reached out for support and is in need and isn't thinking that they're about to be scammed while in need. And it comes, or the term phishing comes from their dropping bait. So it's something that you want, you're in a need of. And when you click whatever link or whatever, it gives you instant access. And in credit cards and centralized finance, traditional finance, what we're familiar with, I mean, there's a danger to it, but in general, those funds can be recovered to some degree or another. In crypto, once you click that link and the money's gone, it's gone. So that's where that added danger comes in. But without clicking that link, it is essentially impossible to access your funds. So.
Well, let's go right to the PSA, shall we?
All right,
then
let's
we'll do the news, because this is a really good segue to an incident that happened last week. Okay.
All right.
So a business that we're familiar with has a very popular Telegram group. And within the Telegram group, this Fisher had discovered some information that led them to clone the business's phone number and was able to ascertain who were customers of that business, reached out to those customers, and said and had called them several times, because on Telegram and most other social media channels, you have your phone number. That's your reference for getting on those apps. So that's how the scammer was able to contact these people. And of course, you answer your phone, and the scammer was saying, "Hey, so and so from said business asked me to give you a call because your device is infected. And from our monitoring, we discovered your device is in danger, and we'd like to help you fix it." So what they asked them to do is to relinquish control through a couple of softwares such as AnyDesk or Teamwork, and it will allow the scammer to take control of the computer. And then where the additional mistake happened, because this is where the person's their level of trust, or their, you know, they felt like they can really trust this person because they're from the company that they did some business with.
Right.
So they felt like they can share some information such as their seed phrases. And next thing you know, they were phished, they were scammed, stolen from. So the message here is that no one, first of all, this company or any other company that is selling you any kind of devices that is supposed to secure your cryptos should not be monitoring your devices, period, end of story. If they're monitoring, that's not a business to be doing business with. Okay, number two, just a couple of things, is that your seed phrases are your seed phrases. Never give them to anybody. Any company, if it was... Let's say you, Linda, let's say that you called up the company and you needed customer support and you were having problems with your device. They should never ask you for your seed phrase.
I was going to say, there is no reason to ever give out that information, is there?
Never, never. Yeah. Never give up user IDs, passwords, seed phrases, ever. And if you're being asked for that, you're getting set up to be swindled. So trust your gut. Trust no one when it comes to your personal information. This is just like somebody calling up and saying, "Hey, you know, I understand that your safe in your house has got a virus, and I'm here to help you fix it. Can I have the combination?" You would never do that.
Right.
And you'd first be asking, "How did you know I had a safe in my house?" So the same thing. You have to use some common sense to these things. And it's like what Cameron said, you click a link, you're in trouble. But this is, the scammers are getting more clever.
Yes,
they have
they
to
are.
Work to hack you. They have to work harder to hack you. I mean, they're working. So don't make it so easy for them.
Make them work for their money.
Yeah, if you're not sure, just don't do it. You know, if you have any doubt, then don't do it and find some other way to find out about the link or the company or something like that.
Right. One other word about Telegram and some other social media channels is that you can go into your settings and you, on Telegram particularly, you cannot remove your phone number, but you can set it to where it is not shown to anybody. It is specifically there for companies purpose so that they can reach out to you with an access code or something like that for your own Telegram account. So, and, anything you want to add?
Yeah, just to tack on a little bit of advice for those who may be deep enough in crypto to be in Telegram groups with some of these projects. One thing to watch for is a message history between who and whoever it is that reaches out to you. It gets very easy to make a imitation of someone else's Telegram, you know, handle and just have the handle hidden, but the username pops up exactly the same, picture pops up the same. So if you don't have a conversation history with whoever you're speaking with and that you can confirm, then there's no reason to continue a conversation with them. Most founders won't reach out to someone first. Support will never reach out to you first. It's pretty common practice in the space. So if you find yourself being reached out to for any reason, that's just in general a red flag in this, at least in this sector right now.
And you make a good point. I know, you know, on like the regular computer or emails or PayPal, I've had this happen a lot because I have several PayPal accounts because of different businesses and stuff. And they can make it look so unique. You really think it's from the company until you get to looking and maybe there's a dash or something's not quite right. But I almost became victim of it from PayPal. You know, we're going to suspend your account and keep all your money and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And it's like, at first, I almost fell for it. But a good point. They disguised it very, very well.
You have to look at the address bar on your device. It's a little bit more difficult on a cell phone, but if you're on a desktop, definitely look at that URL and look at the extension. A lot of times it, let's say if you're using Google, for instance, and it might say, you know, google.com, and then it might have some weird letters and another type of extension. In fact, it might not even say google.com. It might say google/ and then something else and then a dot something.
Right.
Be careful with that. It's one other thing that you need to be aware of as well. Okay. It just left. I'll come back to it.
That happens.
I was thinking about your situation.
Point. Yeah, another point. You know, but, you know.
Sorry about that, folks.
That's okay.
Must not have been important in any case.
Well, just a quick summation is urgency clouds judgment. So take a deep breath.
Good point.
That situation of, oh, my account's about to be frozen. I'm going to lose all of my assets. That's how they get you, is you're thinking that there's a timeline and things need to move quick. So take a deep breath, because in general, an hour isn't going to be the difference in your funds. So
true.
And good point.
It just came back. What I was going to say is, if you have somebody reach out to you and you have some suspicions in your mind, just say thank you very much. And you physically call back the company, not with the number that popped up on your phone, but you go dig it up out of your files.
Good point.
Go call that company directly and ask them if they're having some sort of outreach for X problem. Okay, because it just is happening all over. Your bank is not going to call you. No government agency is going to call you. In fact, a government agency will probably write you a few letters and let you know they're trying to reach you. And send one to you and your spouse and your first cousin and all of that kind of stuff. But nonetheless, it's just use your common sense. If in doubt, say thank you very much and do your own research. Okay. Yeah. Anything else, you guys?
I was going to say, you know, it's always good to double-check the phone number because it's real easy to track down. And if it's a scammer, usually when you look it up on the online, it'll tell you. It kind of like, it doesn't go, but you kind of get the feeling when you look up a number.
And from what I'm understanding, maybe a tech person out there can add some information to this. From what I understand is if you do click on a phone number that has been sent to you, okay, you click back on it, it could actually hack your SIM card. So that's what I'm told. I'm not sure if that is true.
I don't know.
Okay. There are some interesting links out there. So it's, I would say it's dependent on whether it's through a text message or an email. Emails, you can get more intricate and have things that hide the majority of the text, whereas in a text message, you can see everything about the link or whatever.
Sure.
So I would be kind of curious on that as well.
Well, good. Should we put that one to rest?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and get to the news. Cut two, please.
Tara's legal team quits. Lately, it seems like there's never a dull moment with Tara. On Thursday, news broke that Tara's legal team, consisting of their general counsel, their chief corporate counsel, and their regulatory counsel, had all left their positions briefly after the infamous UST collapse. In an email obtained by the publication Decrypt, Tara provided the following information, quote, "The past week was challenging for Terraform Labs, and a small number of team members resigned in recent days. The vast majority of team members remain steadfastly committed to carrying out the project's mission," close quote. Interestingly, the three attorneys had been working for less than a year at Terra. Crypto Twitter was rife with speculation that the trio resigned over upcoming lawsuits, and the first indicators may be pointing that way. Terra's founder, Do Kwon, has proposed to fork the blockchain to attempt to return to the dollar peg. The community is still undecided about a hard fork option, but seems supportive of implementing an aggressive burning mechanism to revive the once-thriving Terra ecosystem. Besides sparking outrage among distressed investors, South Korea's Political Affairs Committee summoned Do Kwon for a hearing to discuss the dramatic crash of Terra. Meanwhile, Nayib Bukele bangs the drum for Bitcoin adoption. Nayib Bukele, El Salvador's outspoken Bitcoin-friendly president, is hosting the annual meeting of the Alliance for Financial Inclusion. He made sure to promote Bitcoin around the meeting, even though it's not on the official agenda. Bukele is down on all of his Bitcoin purchases so far, but made sure to please his social media fans by promising them to, quote, plant the seeds, unquote, for Bitcoin adoption in the participating countries. 44 countries, including the central banks of several African nations like Egypt and Nigeria, representatives from Paraguay, Costa Rica, and Ecuador, and the central banks of Armenia and Bangladesh were invited to talk about Bitcoin adoption. The event took place in El Salvador and covers topics like financial inclusion and the digital economy. The event follows recent news that El Salvador had yet again bought the dip by purchasing 500 Bitcoin. And meanwhile, China emerges as the top mining hub despite the national ban. Research presented by the Cambridge Bitcoin Electricity Consumption Index, despite a national ban on Bitcoin mining, China's underground Bitcoin hash rate touched 22% of the world's total hash rate in January 2022. China's underground Bitcoin hash rate surpassed Kazakhstan, Canada, and Russia. The U.S., meanwhile, has firmly established itself as a leader with nearly 40% share of total hash rate activity. Moreover, traffic from China contributed to around 20% of Bitcoin's overall hash rate from September of 2021 to January 2022. The CCAF said in the statement, quote, "The data strongly suggests that significant underground mining activity has formed in the country. Access to off-grid electricity and geographically scattered small-scale operations are among the major means used by underground miners to hide their operations from authorities and circumvent the ban," close quote. Goes to show you, you cannot stop the Bitcoin blockchain. This week's report was curated from content published by CoinMarketCap, Decrypt, and AMB Crypto. And that is your 3 in 3.
Well, there's a lot going on in the news this week, and most of the week was, it was UST, Terra. That's mm-hmm. almost the entire week. But just looking at the latest dollars on it, or I should say listing for it, it's 6 cents. It has recovered 44%. So that's doing quite well. It was 0.0006 or something ridiculous.
It was so astronomically low that yes. lots of people made a lot of money just now.
Right. What do you think about China and their mining? It's like you can't shut them down.
Yeah, they sure were trying to and making people believe that they were going to be able to cause that to happen. But no.
Yeah, and with their hash rate, despite it being a ban, that they're reaching 22% of the world's hash rate is incredible.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
So the way to go about that, if I understand correctly, would be installing a VPN to your router, so that way the wallet that you deploy to do the mining doesn't have an IP address associated with your home, and that would make it much harder for China to punish you or anything like that. They could only go off your electric bill, but they wouldn't ever be able to find any associated IP address with your physical location.
It could be, and they're using off-grid electricity and geographically scattered small-scale operations. So that's the major means. They're underground miners, and they're hiding their operations that way.
Hmm.
Kind of interesting, isn't
it? Yeah, it's very interesting.
That is the neatest thing, though.
Yeah.
I love it.
So, you know, businesses are looking at transition. How can, especially in time of inflation, how can we reduce our costs as business owners? And one thing you might want to consider is accepting crypto. And yes, crypto is, we're having a difficult time right now. But this is, by the way, folks, this is secular. This is normal in crypto. About this time of the year, crypto goes down. It's called the crypto winter. And later on in the year, you're going to see the bull run. But having said that, there is a reason why you might consider accepting crypto in your retail business.
And I would say there's a lot of reasons and a lot to unpack here, because this is talking about both theoretical and potential applications for decentralized infrastructure being utilized in the real world, which is a lot of fun because at the moment, there's only a handful of places in the world where you can – well – much bigger than a handful, but there's only so many places where you can actually utilize your crypto if you're a holder and you're using it for the long run and not just trying to trade and make a profit. So as an enterprise solution or a retail solution, crypto actually brings a lot to the table, starting with just mitigating transaction fees. As consumers, a lot of the times we don't see these transaction fees. If I want to give you money or if I want to pay at the pump or something like that, it's either a very minimal fee or non-existent because the outlet or the store is covering it for whatever reason to save, you know, costs for you or whatever. That being said, these microtransaction fees end up stacking up dramatically when you're talking about scaled businesses like Walmart, who are processing billions or millions and billions of transactions a year, where crypto makes a big difference is you're looking at fractions of a penny on each transaction. And with digital currency in general, it is completely possible to have cost-free transactions depending on the blockchain solution or who's providing it. But we'll see a little bit more of that in the future. I just wanted to give a quick summation of what's to come after the break. Without unpacking too deeply.
Yeah, quite a bit.
And most of the time it's percentages in regular transactions, correct, versus more like a fee. But your transactions with a regular credit card or something, it's a percentage.
It depends on the processor.
That's true, too.
You know, if you're using American Express, it's one of the most expensive ones. I think
it takes the longest to pay, too.
Yes. there is some reasons for that, too, that we'll talk about later, definitely.
There's a lot to come after the break here. There's just a little bit too much to unpack in a cohesive way.
You had mentioned, you know, that the businesses might absorb this, and in some way they do add that to their cost of goods. But if you go to the gas station, you're going to see cash price, and you're going to see cash price or debit and credit price.
Yes.
And sometimes it's 10 cents difference, and some stations you're actually seeing 20 cents difference.
Also, on a bank statement, you'll see that the gas was X amount, and then you also have a fee.
That's
that
correct.
Comes
yeah.
later on
yeah.
with that. So I guess with that, we will go take a break, and we will come back. And we'll continue this conversation.
We're coming back.
We're going to come back. You are listening to the Tokens Radio Show, KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. See you in three.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
The pandemic has taken a toll on our country.
The Dow plunging hundreds of points, its worst showing of the year.
A shaky economy, financial strain, all made worse by politicians trying to take advantage.
California, New York, a lot of the blue states where businesses are really struggling to find people. And so what can they do?
Homelessness, rising crime, constitutional rights infringed upon by shutting down schools, churches, and small businesses.
There's a lot going on in the economy. There's a lot of uncertainty at the kitchen table.
Now is the time to stand up for community. Now is the time to move people forward.
I'm Kevin Cry. I'm not a politician. I'm a lifelong Shasta resident, and I don't recognize what our community has become. I'm running to lead with backbone. I'll prioritize public safety and make our community more affordable.
Our local leaders have let us down. We can do better.
Let's bring the North State back.
Paid for by committee to elect Kevin Cry, Shasta County Supervisor, District 1.
Welcome back to Tokens Radio Show. This is Cameron Walford, joined with Chrissy Matthews and Linda Kent. We're talking about DeFi and its potential adoption in the retail and enterprise spaces. Going into the break, I had it right the first time. We were talking a little bit about why retailers and other enterprise solutions might consider accepting crypto within their industry. And with the recent crash of a variety of tethered dollar coins within the past month, there's plenty of reason to believe, oh, that's not a good idea. I don't want to go into that space. I could lose all of my money like millions of people did over this past month. Now, if we're looking at it as you're looking at a crypto itself and not its tether coin that's tethered to the United States dollar, while one Satoshi is still worth the same fraction of a Bitcoin as we've spoken before. And if we're looking at Bitcoin, sure, it's only worth, $40,000 compared to previously it might have been $60,000 at its all-time high or $70,000.
Just shy of 30 today.
Okay.
30,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 29,982. Yeah.
But, again, I haven't looked at the price in a minute because I'm looking at it as I have this much Bitcoin, not
right.
I have so many
exactly.
dollars worth of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And where that becomes really fun is if you're looking at the dollar, it's not going to be worth as much Bitcoin in a few days. So if we're just looking at it against, or I can't predict the future, a few days, a few weeks, a few months. At some point, no matter what we're looking at, the dollar is going to be worth less against anything that we put it against right now.
Right.
A gallon of milk, you're going to require more dollars than you currently mm-hmm. do to go get your gallon of milk. As we're seeing at the gas pump, where it's hitting $6, $7, the value of your dollar, if you're just using it to commute, has cut in half in the past 6 weeks or
right.
so. So it's not like this dollar that we're going off of right now is stable. Now, where crypto can reverse this, what we're seeing with the United States dollar is with whatever cryptocurrency is circulate or you're accepting or using, you know for a fact how much there is circulating at any given time, how much there will ever be circulating. So there was not going to be a, well, depending on the blockchain, there's not going to be a massive influx of crypto coming in and crashing the value of your project. Now, when your blockchain's built around protecting the value of a U.S. dollar without anything actually backing it, we've just now recently saw the issue with that. But in general, you know what to expect from a blockchain because it's hard-coded. You know how much of any given object is going to exist, and you know how long it's going to take until it's fully diluted. So if we're just looking at it versus a fiat dollar, knowing the simple fact that they can be finite or they can have fixed rates of production, you mitigate your risk against inflation dramatically because, as we can see right now and historically, the United States dollar does not compete with – or it's impossible for wages or cost of living to compete with the inflation rate of the United States dollar.
You know, I wasn't sure if you were done or not. I just wanted to add, that was a good point. You know, many people are wanting to be receiving some of their income in Bitcoin, and as well as the military. I mean, what you just said, Cameron, was huge, particularly where it comes to the military. And I know this isn't the retail side of things, but it does eventually get to the retailers itself. Mm-hmm. If you are not feeling like you're making enough income, you're not going to be able to support the retailers who need you to be in their shopping and in their businesses. So there are military personnel that are coming out and say, can you please pay us in Bitcoin? Because they see in how practically, I wish you, maybe you read the article. I don't know, Cameron, because it's almost word for word. A lot of the what you were just saying was what was illustrated in that article about the inflation, the rising cost of the dollar. The dollar is not as valuable. Right. As it was, doesn't buy as much. So,
and we actually have no clue how much is circulating. How many dollars are in the dump and how many have been counterfeited.
Correct.
And then you made a good point about the military, of not have, you know, they're not getting paid anything what they're worth.
Right.
So they already have a conflict there with their pay. So something like cryptocurrency is at least they feel possibly that they have more value or buying power, for lack of a better term.
Yes. And not only for today, but also for retirement purposes, just like many people would like a portion of their 401k matching funds right. to be in cryptos as well, Bitcoin particularly. I have to be careful when I say cryptos because I'm personally not referring to all of the altcoins out there.
Right.
In today's crypto winter, I would look at the most stable coins out there, such as Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, Dash, those types of projects that have been around a long time. There are others that are very good. If you're like in the top 100, you're probably doing okay with those.
And before we move on, I'm going to go back to the military. One thing, too, that is really nice is they can receive it anywhere.
Right.
And they can use it in that form anywhere.
Yes.
There's no conversion.
Another point I would like to just stack on to where businesses can really benefit is just with my day job, we have appointments that are scheduled out in blocks, and if people no-show or whatever, they've signed a contract that they don't get their money back. Well, all they have to do is call their bank and say services weren't rendered.
Right.
And they get their entire everything that they paid back, despite us giving up that hour to mm-hmm. them. So they've already purchased that hour,
right.
despite them not utilizing that's on them or whatever. In the crypto world, there is not only can that transaction not be reversed by anyone but yourself.
No chargebacks.
Yeah, so that the lack of chargebacks, but also the public ledger that people...
Right.
That was just the stupidest words I ever heard when I first heard public ledger, because I was like... It was just Fugazi, pretty much. It had no intrinsic value in my brain. Now I'm thinking about it, and it's, okay, there's not going to be a credit card dispute. I'm not going to call a bank and argue, I didn't do that. The blockchain knows for
right.
a fact I did it, and it doesn't have an opinion on anything I spend my money on, and I'm not going to have to argue with it. So as both a consumer and someone in the retail space or any sort of enterprise, having that transaction finality and not having chargebacks is extremely beneficial, especially if you go into the world of what I believe we'll see coming is NFTs correlating to real-world objects. Then your purchase was made with crypto, and you received a piece of crypto, a non-fungible token, which is representative of a real-world object, an exclusive real-world object, something that you could not confuse with another one. So it would be almost like a license plate for every object. But this is a license plate that couldn't be forged. Therefore, if you have a manufacturer defect and you're sending it back in, they're not thinking, oh, he broke his, bought another one so he could get a warranty and then sent in the broken one, or any low-life sort of workaround there is that I've definitely done. I realize a lot of the time when I say these things that they're probably not things most people think of, so I'm throwing myself under a bit of a bus on some of these. But there's all kinds of ways that it protects both businesses and consumers. And then on top of that, not having to worry about a waiter writing an extra on their tip. I highly doubt that happens. Most people, I think, are just fine people and not trying to screw you over. But the lack of trust is great.
Right. So back to, like, the chargebacks. That protects both sides, because not only the chargeback coming back, but then the retailer can't charge you more.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's a right. safety net on both sides of that coin.
Yes.
Yes.
And you know, chargebacks add to the overall cost of goods. You know, there's a number of chargebacks. The cost
yeah.
in that store is going to go up. The other thing, you know, think of the clothing store. How many people, and I know this still happens, you go in and you buy a fancy dress, fancy suit, whatever. Do you guys still wear suits? I don't know.
If you have a place, you can go buy
okay.
it.
All right. So you go and you have real fancy clothes, and you only need them that one time. So you leave the tags on, and you go to your event, and then you bring back the clothes. That happens all the time. So now you have a fraudulent chargeback.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's now clothing that became flawed because that inspection process is not going to happen when those clothes are returned, as the inspection process occurred before the clothes were originally delivered mm-hmm. to the store to start with. So there again, you have the increased cost to the business. So what else do they have to do is pass the cost on to you
the
and
consumer.
Me.
Consumer, yeah.
And if
That's
we look
right.
at another fun consumer advantage here, if you're going to the store and you buy a TV and you're really stoked about your TV, it'd be so great to be able to scan the barcode and see who else owned it before you, see how many times that one's been returned. Because
right.
at some odd chance it's a defective one, you don't know if it's been returned 15
right.
times and sitting
right.
on that shelf.
Good point.
Yeah, how
That's
many
a good
of
point.
Our some stores here locally, you go in and you'll see it was an open box and you're going, oh, my gosh, should I buy it? It's been retaped. And sure enough, you open it up. It's usually hardware related. It's one of the hardware stores. And you find out a piece is missing because somebody needed that piece and it got returned. And there you go.
Yep.
Yeah. The whole thing's useless.
I think depending on – well, not I think. I know depending on the blockchain, you could even throw a note on there. So let's just say whatever your reason was for return, oh, didn't like it. That would be something that the next owner could see on that transaction's history, and that would never be changed. Now they could add a transaction and be like an intermediate transaction that was inspection notes or something, and then you could see what the inspector was, what they said, who it was that said it. So as a business, you know who to hold accountable for anything that might have been missed before the resale. As a consumer, you're like, oh, okay, this is what they found. I'm fine with those defects, right, or I'm not fine with those defects.
So it would probably stop. I worked at a local department store. I won't name it. What people would do, like, they would buy a brand new iron and take it home and put their old iron in the box and return it. So I guess it would stop that as well, because it would have it all documented.
Yeah, exactly. There's no getting something new and then returning the old version.
Yeah, exactly.
And cooling off periods would be eliminated, too. That would have to be written into the smart contract in some way. Because right now, if you have, say, like you're buying furniture or an automobile or something like that, you have, what, 3 days to cool off.
Right.
And in the crypto world, it's designed to where this is final.
So what I would think that we're going to see is as different projects move forward to utilize crypto with real-world objects, using that NFTs to represent something real, what it will be is they will mitigate the barrier for entry for entrepreneurs and enterprises to enter in, and they'll be able to make slight customizations to their smart contract without having to build their smart contracts from scratch. And we're actually seeing a pretty decent amount of projects out there that have zero-code smart contracts, so you can kind of enter stuff in. They're a little bit wonky right now. But that's just the stepping stone to where we're headed. And I think that once you can type in, oh, yes, I do want people to wait 3 days.
Right.
In general, it'll all be binary, so it'll be a yes or a no question. Do you want this option? Do you want that option?
Right.
Or it'll be a hard number. So for how many days?
Right.
But as we see more and more implementations of that, we're going to see it's going to become infinitely more appealing to even small businesses to onboard, because they're not going to have to hire a developer or anything like that. And then they're not going to have to worry about these small transactions getting overturned on chargebacks and stuff right. like that, when they're just a small struggling business or even doing fine and just don't deserve to have their money taken out of their pocket.
You know, one of the other benefits, too, that to receiving cryptocurrencies are real-time transactions.
Yeah.
Everything is in real-time. You know, it takes quite a bit of processing that happens in the background when you go into a store and you use your debit card or mm-hmm. your credit card. There's a payment processor, also called the middleman, involved, who's going mm-hmm. to process your payment. And it could be a number of payment processors. It could be Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover, you name it. There are a number out there. And they all have their own processing times because those transactions have to run through their systems and then eventually end up to your banking institution that's going to then remove those funds and then send them back through that payment system mm-hmm. over to the merchant. And with cryptocurrency transactions, it's right now. It literally happens within, let's say, minutes. It can happen sooner. It could take a little bit longer, but generally the goal where all of this is happening is this is going to be instantaneous. This is going to be very quick.
And that's good for the retailers, like we were talking earlier. American Express, I know for a fact a lot of times they're 90 days out before the actual payment comes back to the retailer.
So
that can be a long time.
The problem got solved relatively quick, but there used to be a way to anonymously double spend money. With the Visa debit cards that were prepaids that weren't affiliated to a bank account or anything like that, you didn't have to affiliate yourself with the prepaid, mm-hmm. and you could load it up or whatever. If you wanted to, because of how long it took for transactions to settle, and you could still do this, but it would be affiliated with you. But if you go to a two-step processing service, such as a restaurant, where they take out the tip afterwards. So you swipe your card, and then you fill out what tip you want or anything like that. You could fill out a tip for $10,000, and it doesn't check how much that tip is until after you've already left and everything is settled, and the server's got their $10,000 out of the pocket. And I mean, I never went and did that, unfortunately, because I'm really curious how that would have resolved.
I think it affects the business, and then within the business, they have to look at their employees and say who was involved in this.
I think that might come back on the card company, though.
It could.
That'd be a weird one, though. That's why, I mean, it was a short-lived problem. Yeah. I'd imagine there were people that did take advantage of it. I definitely filled up gas tanks on the last $5 on those plenty of times when they existed, which not proud of, but I was 18. And
We all do the young and stupid kind of things. You know, also in the traditional world, the transaction fees are affected by the size of the transaction.
Right.
So in percentages. But in cryptocurrency, let's say Bitcoin fees, they're not affected by the size of the transaction, but by the speed of the transaction. That's really all it is.
There's a bit of a two-part to that.
Sure.
While it's not necessarily the size of the transaction, I send you one Bitcoin versus a half of a Bitcoin versus a thousandth of a Bitcoin, it is affected by the data within the transaction.
Sure.
With Bitcoin, I don't see where extra data would come in on a block outside of potential future use cases. But if you're looking at something like Ethereum, which you shouldn't be doing transactions on Ethereum.
But, not now, until the gas fees come down.
But if you're looking at something on the Ethereum network, Polygon, so to speak, your transaction fees are affected by the workload that a smart contract puts on the blockchain, essentially. And on top of that, there's usually an integrated fee going to whatever the crypto is that you're buying, or the organization that's backing it, some sort of transaction fee. But you can actually see all of that. And then if you go to the Block Explorer, you can really break that down.
Right.
And you can catch some pretty crazy, sneaky things that you wouldn't be able to catch in traditional finance, like an extra sliver of a penny coming off on every transaction. Like,
you mean that's actually done? No. Oh, my goodness. Was that like 7.99 9/10, something like that, as I digress?
Well, there's a common phishing scheme that went out a while back where this guy got like 7 cents on everyone's phone bill within like Verizon or something. Don't quote me on it being Verizon, but this guy just hacked everyone's phone bill, so they got a fraction of everyone's monthly payment. And it was so small that no one noticed that they were paying extra.
Right.
And Verizon didn't catch it for years.
And he probably collected a lot of money over the years.
We're talking close to $1 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask your opinion on this. So some people might be thinking, they're retailers, about this Bitcoin thing, should I take it or not take it? Well, let's say, a purchase of $10 can be worth $20 a week from now or $7 a week from now. Would you... first of all, you can set your transactions as a retailer in the currency you wish to receive it in. But how could you offset that exchange rate? What would be one way? I'm thinking maybe a small transaction fee already built into the transaction above and beyond the payment processor.
In my head, this is just a personal. If I was accepting Bitcoin in a business, I would give a discount for people willing to use it, because I would want the Bitcoin over the cash, because that saves me cost of turning my cash into Bitcoin. But that's someone that's already planning to go turn fiat into Bitcoin. Now, if your plan is to turn Bitcoin into fiat, then you have this new expense that you're incurring where you're going to have to put that on the customer's end.
A lot of businesses, they're running on a very small shoestring, so they've got overhead operating costs that they have to pay in fiat. So I can see where they might want to be accommodating to the customer that wishes to use the currency of their choice, but then yet they also have to pay their bills in fiat. And so how are they going to do that? They can't be eating those costs.
Well, what I would be hoping is that there's an enterprise solution similar to what Litecoin's offering on
right.
that debit card.
Yes.
And that would be something that would make it so they could pay in fiat using the crypto that they're holding without taking that big old transaction fee on every exchange.
Right.
Furthermore, though, if you're talking once a month and if you're using a network like Polygon or Phantom to take your payments, and what your payments are now costing is 1/100th of a penny per transaction. Well, at the end of the month, it's going to cost you maybe $100 to pull all that out in fiat,
right.
To move it over to fiat. That has to be cheaper than what you're paying.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you don't accept it and you're a retailer, you know, some kind of crypto, you could be losing business.
I think you are.
If you don't have that option.
Yeah. Right now,
but if everybody's starting to move over into cryptocurrency and you have a service that I want, but you don't take it, I may end up going someplace else to receive that service is kind of where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
Well, that you've got to have the option open to your people.
You know, a Harris poll in 2021 spoke to that. It says 44% of Americans are interested in receiving crypto digital currencies such as Bitcoin, and they wish to use them at retailers.
Yeah.
And
that's in 2021.
I mean, as we see retailers start accepting it, we're actually, in my predictions here, we're going to very quickly be seeing utility companies and such accepting it. So right now we have to think about, yeah, there is a need for fiat, but I would think that each company that decides to adopt cryptocurrency is just another building block, so to speak, on making it so someone else has to accept cryptocurrency.
Well, let's talk about some of those gateways. We've mentioned them here. You know, you have the full card, which allows you to use your current fiat and earn some Bitcoin return rewards. There is a Visa Bitcoin rewards cards. There are Coinbase cards. And then there are a number of payment gateways. I mean, you have a whole list of them.
There's a whole bunch, like Pay and Get Paid, Coin Payments, Blockonomics, Coinbase you mentioned.
Simplex, MoonPay.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, it just goes
Clover,
on. Toast.
Toast. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
The Speedin Network, S-P-E-D-N Network, is used, I believe, by Starbucks and a number of other retailers that will, they will do that conversion for the retailer, but allow you to come in with various cryptos. I believe that they'll take Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, Dash, and one other one, I believe.
Wow.
And so the retailer gets their fiat. And the customer gets to use their crypto. So right now everybody's happy, but there is still a payment processor in the middle.
Right.
Now, if we're talking about real enterprise, just a quick little spitball is if we see Walmart accept Bitcoin, we might think right now that Bitcoin could be worth 10% less next week, 20% next last week, less next week. If someone like Walmart or a major organization like that adopts it, what happens is the price goes up. Just them announcing it, they've already given themselves a winning investment. With whatever Bitcoin they accept from now on, that price is going to start heading north, and that north-driven price is going to drive further adoption, and that further adoption goes north. So.
Yes, and I believe that Walmart is beginning to accept. I read something about that not too long ago. Whether it's enacted now or it was agreed upon at a previous director's meeting, it is coming on board.
Right.
So
well, isn't that
up.
Kind of like what Tesla did?
Yes. Yes.
Same principle.
Yeah.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we covered a lot of ground here.
Yeah.
A lot of good information for the folks
out
there.
Gosh, we can easily go another hour.
Yeah, there's so much good stuff. So, yeah.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Yeah. Have a good day.
And we'll see you next week.
And there's plenty of room for all.
Well, Satoshi Nakamoto, that's a name I love to say. And we don't know much about him, but he came to save the day. When he wrote about the way things are and the way things ought to be, he gave us all a protocol this world had never seen. Oh, Bitcoin, as you're going into the old blockchain, oh, Bitcoin, I know you're going to rain, gonna rain, till everybody knows, till everybody knows your name.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.